Welcome to the In Hope Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Preach.
And I'm Brandon. And each week we drop an episode to strengthen unity in the body of Christ.
We want you to be part of the conversation. So make sure you like, share, subscribe, and let's talk. So today we haven't gotten through our ChatGPT strategy. And so we're going to, and not strategy as in this is how you use ChatGPT.
Not a good strategy.
But this is, I asked ChatGPT, what would the devil do if he wanted to destroy this generation? Yeah. And so we've been talking about his answer, what ChatGPT's answer was. And we'll kind of touch back on the number one thing was corrupt truth. The number two thing was divide and isolate, and that's where we stopped. And so we're going to try to get our way through these next four here, because he gave us six bullet points of what the enemy would do. And we were talking about how what's interesting is that we can see these. Yeah. This isn't what's cool.
ChatGPT was kind of spot on.
Yeah, ChatGPT was spot on in that. It's funny because we ask it as a hypothetical.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, no, I'll just tell you what is happening.
Yeah.
And so it moves it from this hypothetical to, okay, no, we can literally see there is an enemy and he is doing these things.
Which kind of makes sense. I mean, it's pulling from reality.
It is.
Like ChatGPT is just taking the information from the world.
Right.
And what's all out there and then trying to make it and make sense of it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so it's interesting because I also mentioned how when phrasing that, he immediately started pulling out, there's some scripture verses that he points to. So he goes straight to the Word of God and using some of the references there of what the enemy is like and what he would do. And so I think this is interesting. But first, we talked about how he would corrupt truth. And then we talked about how he would divide and isolate. And this next one we're going to be getting into is the distract with the temporary.
Distract with the temporary.
Okay. And now I feel like, I mean, we kind of have to touch on a little bit some of that corrupt truth, divide and isolate. I feel like all these kind of work together. They work in tandem. They bleed together.
It's not a single faceted approach that he takes.
Exactly. And so these things kind of help one another. It's just like if you're playing any sport, right? Like you're the different positions, while they have their own strategy and things they're trying to do, it's working in a larger strategy, and they help one another, right? When that block happens the right way, it helps the running back or whoever it may be to run the way they want to run, right?
Yeah.
And so it's... same thing here. We see that corrupt the truth, where we're talking about a lot of different things we see in this world, where it says in here, he makes the Bible outdated and oppressive. He blurs moral lines. He twists God's truth and to make some lies. And we're talking about how we can see some of that with what people do with the Word of God and kind of picking and pulling.
Trying to make it what they want it to be.
Yep, exactly.
Which you can do
if
you just take individual verses without any context
You
can make them sound like whatever you want.
Yeah. And so what's interesting is that we talked about there, I think a big part of that was one of the reasons we guard from that is community and us being able to get
iron
into the Word of
iron.
God together. Absolutely.
Have discerning the Word together.
Yep, absolutely. And then so the enemy, knowing that his strategy number two is divide and isolate. Right. And in here it talks about pitting people against each other by race, politics, gender, different beliefs. Mm-hmm. This is something that we see more and more.
Yeah. And in the church, right?
In the church.
We talked a little bit. I think we talked a little bit about it, but maybe not. I can't even remember.
Yeah.
but yeah, that's one I think we see in the church a lot with the separations of denominations and all that kind of stuff. Like, let's argue about these little things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And let them separate us as a church body.
Absolutely. And then, I mean, even in the, especially within the aspect of race and politics have become, and gender, have become such big political issues that our moral issues a lot of times. I mean, politics, aside, race, gender, a lot of these things, a lot of things that politics are touching on now are moral issues as well. And so we've seen a lot of divide and tension among believers, among different groups of believers who would both say I'm Christian, but maybe there's different stances politically, or they're on different sides of things race-wise, or on different sides of things gender-wise, and it causes this incredible tension. And so that is something that, we definitely were seeing that, encouraging shallow online connections while killing real friendships and community. I think that's another part of that kind of dehumanizing as well. That happens in the divide, is that with the dehumanizing, we're able to so quickly, to demonize other people, to lower or speak ill of them and speak down on other people.
And it's easier behind a camera or behind a desk somewhere, or just hidden.
Yeah. Well, and then just where is the humanity in some of the things that we're saying and that we're seeing with one another? Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you can think of to just even recent events, me and you were talking about, we're going to get into, we're talking about just even recent events, to see the way some people respond to others hurt, to the harm of others. And
well, on that note, there's a, you know, the shallow online connections, we're more connected than we've ever been.
Yeah.
Yet loneliness and depression are on the rise.
Exactly.
So in a way, that one kind of shows just how that has worked.
Yeah.
Like that isolation and encouraging of the shallow connections is not actually helping us.
Oh, yeah. And that's so easy when the connection is shallow, right? So we're not getting into the deep things. We're just trying to bury them under a shallow facade. And usually that shallow facade that we put out is what we want people to see. Right. Yeah. And what we want interaction
and people
will
drop you like a hat.
Yep. Absolutely.
The unfollow comes just as fast as
just
the follow.
As quick. Right.
Yeah. I saw that happen a lot in the last week too. Yeah.
Right. And then, well, and we, if our endorphins, our dopamine is coming from the likes and the positive comments, how quickly that can devastate us when the likes aren't coming.
Yep.
And the positive comments aren't
coming. That's down here at the bottom, by the way.
Right. Oh, is it?
Yeah. I think so. I looked ahead a little bit.
Oh yeah, do it. So.
Oh yeah. So it's today's. Right?
Okay.
So the second part of today's is encourage chasing likes, money, and status instead of purpose.
There we go. There it is.
The chasing of likes is a very big problem.
Exactly. And so that's today's. Like we said, distract with the temporary.
Yeah.
What's crazy is that so often these temporary things are even also what we use to divide us.
Yeah.
And I mean, you think about even in the sense of something like we said, when it comes to politics, right? When it comes to a lot of those different things, look, I don't care what nation you're part of, what party you're part of, none of that's going to exist eternity wise. I mean, if we're being real, we try to create these tribes, right? Where we are so connected and identified with different tribes and issues that will not be a thing when it comes to eternity.
Right.
Right. And it's not to say that those things, they don't matter, they're careless, but we need to prioritize.
Yeah.
Right. We
if
need to prioritize.
If it becomes our God.
Exactly.
Then we're in a spot of idolatry.
Exactly.
And we'll struggle.
Right. And so if those things start to overcome the things that are eternal, then that there's an issue. That's the idolatry. Yeah. Right.
I think especially with the likes, I've thought a lot about this for myself included. Just the because I try to be online and do things. I do music and stuff, and I want people to like it.
Yeah.
You know, and I want it to have an impact. So I've had to constantly go back to what am I actually doing this for? That encouraging. Chasing likes is what it says in there is like, how do we distract with the temporary?
Yeah.
I see it all over social media. Like there's so many posts, especially like on TikTok, of like how to grow your followers, how to do this and how to do that. And But what happens when you do?
Yeah.
Have like one of those breakthrough moments.
Yeah.
It's like a rush.
Mm.
And there is like that endorphin. It's like, it's almost like a drug.
It is.
I would say.
Oh, it absolutely probably is. Like, that's how it works.
That's probably one of the other new drugs, you know, we talked about.
Yeah.
New drugs that aren't actually drugs.
Exactly. You know,
like pornography and stuff. But, but that's kind of a similar thing. It's giving you like that hit of endorphins and, but then what happens when you have one go viral and then your next 10 don't?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we see like this depression hit and stuff. Yeah. And it's like, oh, I thought everybody liked me.
Yeah.
But it was just, you had a good post.
Yeah.
Or you had a, it was funny or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it is shallow.
Yeah.
It's a, that's that same back to that shallow online connections, which is the last one.
Yeah.
Is that when it's shallow like that, you can get dropped in a hat.
Mm-hmm.
At a hat, like I said. And then you're left feeling like depressed.
Yeah, exactly. And you're chasing after. It's funny because when you say that, the image that came to my mind was golf. I know. Stick with me. All right. This is why. All right. So you mentioned how you have that one, like that one post that hits big.
Yeah.
Right. That one thing that goes viral. And then after that, the rest of them they're not matching up. Right. They're getting low return, low likes, low comments,
yeah,
whatever it may be, low views. All of the above, right? And yeah. So what came to my mind is, and then we're stuck chasing after trying to get that next,
yeah,
see it happen again, that next viral moment, right?
And you'll get stuck on that temporary fix.
And you get stuck on that. And that becomes your drive, your aim, yeah, right? And so the reason golf came to my mind is because if anybody's ever tried to pick up golf, it is not as easy as you may think. Unless you are just some freak prodigy, it is not as easy as you would think to walk up there and hit a good looking, like high, far,
straight
ball.
Have you seen how small
ball,
that hole is?
Right? Have you seen how small the ball is? Right? And, but you wouldn't. So it's not as easy as one may think,
yeah,
to a novice, right?
Yeah.
To somebody who's just walking up and trying to get it going for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you, when you get that one good hit,
oh yeah.
Right. That's when nice. You get that first good hit, you're like, oh, and then you want to do it again.
Yeah.
And you will spend hours, you know, working on that swing to do it again.
Yeah.
And so what's interesting, why that came to my mind, is I think that's just a really like a clear example. You can think of it maybe with like a home run, right?
Yeah.
You can think of it with somebody, you know, trying to get their shot down in basketball or be able to, you know, throw a really good ball in football, whatever it may be, any sport, mm-hmm, this kind of comes to my mind is that we can kind of see something work the way that we're intending it to, like yeah, at its peak, right? Like our best. And then we're always striving to get back there, striving to get back, yeah, to that moment, right? And what's interesting is that a lot of times you'll find athletes or artists have this same issue, mm-hmm, that we're talking about when it comes to us chasing these temporary things.
Yeah.
Because all of it is temporary, right?
Yep.
And if we end up getting fixated on chasing the high from temporary things, yeah, eventually we figure out it's not enough.
Yeah. And what's crazy about it is it's not necessarily bad.
No.
Like you might be posting, like my goal and
yeah,
our
right,
goal with this podcast.
Exactly.
Like
right.
This yeah, could be the exact same thing.
Exactly.
Right? Cause we're like, oh yeah, we want people to see it.
Exactly.
We want people to maybe be encouraged by it,
yeah,
grow in their faith. There's a lot of good things that can come from us having a breakout video or a breakout
exactly,
song or whatever it is. And that could be really awesome, but there's that temptation that comes, mm-hmm, along with it. That is dangerous.
Yeah.
It's, I kind of think of it almost like food.
Okay.
Like I've struggled,
oh, yeah,
with food.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And,
yeah. Absolutely.
And being overweight and stuff. And it's like, it's a necessary, like you have to eat.
Exactly. And it's good to
and
eat.
There's good.
Yeah.
And it's good to eat.
Right.
Yeah. You need, like you would wither away and you'd struggle to have energy to
right,
do the things that God's put you on earth to do if you didn't eat.
Right.
But then you got to eat healthy.
Exactly.
And so it's like, how do we do that health in a healthy way.
Mm.
And that's, I think, the biggest challenge. But that is the thing that the enemy will tempt us with.
Exactly. And I think that that's the great question. How do we do this in a healthy way?
Yeah.
Right. How do we balance that out to where, because we're not saying all of these things are temporary, avoid them at all costs.
Yeah.
All of the,
yeah, because then you wouldn't right. have anybody speaking the truth.
No, exactly.
Like you wouldn't have the Charlie Kirks and the other yeah. people that are out there yeah. doing things. And like what us, like,
yeah.
if we didn't do it, then it wouldn't do anything. Then uh-huh. like people wouldn't get reached with the gospel. Like
exactly.
we have to get out there and do something.
Yep, exactly.
And so is it, and it may be a temporary, but are we chasing the temporary?
Exactly. And what's, and I think what really makes the big difference is when you look back in history, a lot of the things that we celebrate were addressing some temporary issues,
mm-hmm.
right? A lot of heroes of faith were addressing some temporary issues,
yeah,
right? But the purpose behind it, and I think that's one of the big words here, is that in this idea of distract with the temporary, it says fill minds with endless entertainment, consumerism, and busyness mm-hmm. so that there is no time for God, right? And so if these things are taking over our time with God.
Right. That's right? the other end of it, right?
That's the other, right?
Where you're just, you're only consuming and not doing anything.
Yeah, right? And then you're consuming, and even when it comes to creating,
like I've you can been be in a that spot before,
right? You can too. Be a consumer, for example, of social media, right? Yeah. We're even talking about, look, we're on a podcast. We're hoping people hear this. We're yeah. hoping people see this. We're telling you, like, share, subscribe, like, share this with friends because we yeah. want people to be part of this conversation,
yes.
right? But the thing is that if we're so fixated on consumer or consuming the content or even creating the content that we leave no room for God.
Yeah.
Now we have an issue. This is where the enemy wants us, right? Yeah. That we're doing these good things, the doo-doo cycle, right?
The
we're doing
cycle.
These good things. We're creating good content,
yeah.
right? But if we're always creating and our minds fixed on creating good content to where we're not spending time in the up, spending time with God, yeah. right?
And that's it, right? Are we getting that up time and are we refocusing with God from like on a regular basis,
because mm-hmm.
That happens even, you know, with even when it's not social media stuff. Like
yeah.
we talk about church leadership and stuff like
there we
that.
Go. Yeah.
A lot of them get so stuck in the like, well, everything I'm doing is good.
Yeah.
But not all of it's healthy.
Yeah. Right. And then I think what's something that's so interesting is that with that, as kind of refer back to the up in and out that we talked about in the previous episodes, right? Cause mm-hmm. we did three different episodes touching on those, the up in and the out. And when you look at those, you have that up time with God, you have the end time, which is with other believers. You have that out time, right? Where you're serving and you're outreaching to people who are not believers, right? When you're doing those things, the up in and the out, well, there's not really a big segment in there that says, oh, this is the me time for me to go and consume on the social media, for me to yeah. go and do this and the right. And so what's interesting is that those things are even pushing you towards community, mm-hmm. right? If you are simply consuming, right, and you're just taking in or you're mm-hmm. simply wanting your voice to be heard, right? Yeah. And it's not about connecting with others, like a good end time where you're yeah. iron sharpening iron,
yeah.
right? If you're the only iron that you want swinging.
Well, yeah, that's a dangerous spot,
that's
right?
a dangerous spot, right?
So then you're going to just put your own views out there rather than God's views.
There's a proverb that talks about how a fool loves to be heard, right?
Mm.
But it's the wise that listen. And so
you got to have both.
I mean, there's some things that like we say, join the conversation, right? There's some comments we want to hear and yeah. we'll read them. Like we want to engage, right? There's conversation happens on both sides. So there's things that we want to yeah. hear, but there's also things that every individual can share.
Yeah.
Right. So as we're talking now, like we want to hear what others have to say as well and,
yeah.
and put into it. And so there needs to be that back and forth. But if it's just a matter of, oh, I just want my voice to be heard.
Yeah.
That's where we start seeing the description of the fool in Proverbs.
Yeah.
When it's just, I want my voice to be heard. And so when we look at this, the second part, he says, encourages chasing likes, money, or status instead of purpose. Mm-hmm. And so as we were talking about this idea of, you know, we're chasing that next big hit, with the golf ball, not drugs, but drugs too, right? That next big hit with the golf ball or the baseball, that next great throw, that next win, next whatever it may be in sports, that next big video on social media, yeah. Right? When we're chasing after those temporary things and we lose sight of purpose,
yeah,
the purpose behind them, then that can be dangerous. When that becomes our purpose, that is where it gets dangerous.
Yeah.
And so I think, especially when it comes to being distracted with temporary things, a big unity piece to this is that we need to recognize and come back to purpose, right? And the purpose that we share as believers. And that's one of those things to where, if you, I'm going to put a short plug in here for a book called Crucial Conversations. Mm. All right. Crucial Conversations. Patrick Lencioni touches on this in many different ways, too. I always love throwing him out because he's one of my favorite authors. Patrick Lencioni, he talks about some of this. But in Crucial Conversations, they really narrow down and they key in on this, which is when it comes to having a high stakes conversation, right, where they say it's crucial because the stakes are high and emotions run high, right? When it comes to those things, the biggest takeaway that you'll see drilled time and time again in that book is we need to have a common purpose. And we need to come back to that common purpose because that is what is going to help the conversation to stay at a productive level. But if we have completely different purposes and we can't share a purpose when it comes to conversation, now we're just button heads. Now we're just enemies across the table, right? Mm-hmm. Rather than, okay, no, we're trying to fulfill this purpose together, right? And so especially when it comes to unity and it comes to us working, even with all these temporary things, you know, some of us may do sports more than another. Some of us may do art more than another. Some of us may do social media more than another. Some of us may watch movies. Maybe you're a movie watcher, right? Like you're a movie critic. Maybe you're a food critic, right? Like maybe these are your things. These are your pastimes. These are your hobbies. These are things that you love. All temporary, right? Yeah. All temporary. And we can point fingers at each other and talk about the negatives and what each other are doing and our lack of respect and honor towards the things that we're doing. You glutton over food. You have no respect for the arts and these beautiful paintings and or this music, and you watching these new bogus movies and TV shows. You have no respect, right, for people actually out there sweating in the grind and putting in work in athletics, whatever it may be, right?
Yeah.
All of those things, we can let them divide us, or we can remember our true purpose, which goes far beyond that.
Yeah.
And as believers,
Which is rooted in unity.
Absolutely, right? Which is even in itself rooted in unity, which is being part of that reconciliation ministry that God calls us to know him, right? To make disciples of all nations. And so it's that building of the kingdom, knowing, loving, and serving him. Like, that's where we can come back to, right?
Yeah, and I think if you know your purpose well enough, you can be satisfied with the 10 likes.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, that's something that I'm constantly telling myself, because I do feel like God called me to be online, mm-hmm. which is why I'm doing this podcast there, and also why I post on social media. And there is that risk of starting to chase likes and stuff. And then I have to keep constantly re-bring myself back to, like, if one person mm-hmm. heard something that I said about God,
yeah,
and it influenced them in a certain way, that's a win.
Come on now.
And I actually mentioned this on social media the other day. There's all these people complaining about being in like 200 to 300 view jail or whatever that is.
Yeah.
And I'm like, when have you been able to talk to 200 to 300 people?
Yeah.
Never.
Exactly.
Like, unless you, I mean, that's actually a good sized church,
right? There we go.
Like that. Right? Most churches are less than 100. Yeah. We talked about that once.
Exactly.
Like the mega church thing is the minority.
Uh-huh.
Most churches are very small. So the opportunity to be able to speak truth to that many people,
right?
If you get 10, that's amazing. If you get 300, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So don't be satisfied with the influence that God has given you, I guess is the, is the thing I'm taking away from it personally.
Yeah.
And I hope that other people watching this will take away from that. And that's true with anything like the home run or the one hole in one. Maybe it might be the only one you get your entire life.
Mm.
Be satisfied that you got one.
Yeah.
Like, because there's more to life than
exactly
than just the hole in one or just the big video that goes viral.
Exactly. Man, and that's talking about contentment.
Contentment's tough.
Contentment is tough, right? But we've mentioned before how if we can be content and we don't fall into this trap of comparison, because comparison is a killer of joy.
Comparison is a tool
killer
of the enemy.
It is. It's a killer of joy. It's a killer of contentment. It's a killer of us being content with what I have is good, and I'm not thinking a thing of it until I see someone else. And
think
they
of
have,
sphere of influence
right?
in that. I think this is really important to add to this.
Yeah.
We can look at these big social media giants or someone who's got a mega church or any of those kind of things and be like, man, they're just reaching so many people.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to reach the same people that are in your sphere of influences.
Exactly.
And those people need to be helped and saved too.
Yeah.
They need to know the Lord just as much as the masses.
Exactly.
And you are put in the place that you're put in to reach somebody.
Exactly.
For God. And he has a purpose for you. Your purpose might not be that giant one.
No.
He needs to use all people for all things. And that's the same as what we talked about with micro churches and mega churches.
Yep.
There are different niche the right way to say it? Different niches where people are.
Yeah.
And he needs to reach all of them. And he's not going to be able to do it in one way.
Exactly.
He's not going to do it just with the big large group things. There needs to be deeper disciples. There needs to be that iron sharpens iron. So it needs to get filtered down to more personal relationships.
Exactly.
Those mega giants that have, they're changing the world.
Yeah.
But they're not doing that individual deep discipleship with those people.
No.
They might be directing them and then they start going to church because of it, which is great. We need that. We need those big voices that are going to like help drive people to the churches.
Yeah.
But then we also need, and actually it's probably more important.
Oh yeah.
Those small group discipleship things
that
happen within a group of 10.
Exactly.
And that's enough.
Yeah, absolutely. You cannot discount the person who is strongly discipling 3, 1, 5, 12.
Even 1.
Right? Don't discount them over the person who's speaking to thousands.
Yeah.
Right? Because you never know, and you cannot say the value of those 12 lives is more than what we're going to find in the thousand. God's going to value those individuals just as much as any other individual within the thousand.
Yep.
And you never know what God's plans are. I've heard of so many times ministers from small churches talk about how many people they have sent out of their church to be missionaries and plant other churches and be involved in things at high levels that you wouldn't expect that type of impact coming from a small church, right?
Yeah. Well, how about this? Every single one of those people you admire that have those big platforms were discipled by somebody.
Exactly.
We don't know who they are.
Right.
Because they were probably more of a 1 to 10.
Yeah, exactly.
Discipler.
Yeah.
We don't know who they are.
Exactly. And it's those 1 to 10 disciplers that they are usually making the biggest difference behind the scenes.
Yes.
Because even, like you said, those people who have the bigger platforms, usually if they're in a healthy place, they have people who are ministering to them behind the scenes. And that's not what those people are, you know, renowned
for. And we're products
for,
of that.
Right?
Right?
And they're products.
Like, I'm sure you have those 1 or 2
disciplers
that got you to where you're at right now. I definitely do.
Yeah.
There's a guy specific. I'm going to shout him out. He's actually no longer with us. But his name was Dave Meekins, and he completely just poured into me in a very one-on-one setting, like took me to breakfast multiple times And without his like discipleship and leadership, yeah. I would not be where I'm at today.
And we need that. We need more of that. And what keeps us from that so often is the enemy tries to distract with the temporary and fill us with all of this busyness so there is no time.
Yeah. The enemy could have told him,
yeah,
hey, you're only reaching 10 people.
Exactly.
Or he reached more than that. Yeah. But he could have. He could have like tried to get into his mind. And maybe he did, you know. And I, because I know that's happened to me. Like I have that same.
Yeah. Like, you have to fight enemy it
trying
regularly.
To be like, nobody's going to listen to you. Nobody wants to hear what you have to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody's going to listen to that song that you're writing. All those things, right? Those all are there trying to like keep me from the things that God's called me to do.
Yeah.
And if I let them win, even when I went to be a worship leader, I remember thinking like, I'm not good enough as a singer to be a worship leader, but I really felt God was calling me into it. And I very easily could have let those voices win, that the voice of the enemy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is, you're not good enough. You're not going to have the influence that the other worship leaders that you admire have. And it could have completely taken me out of it. And I remember being super scared.
Yeah.
And just really leaning on that I felt like God was calling me into it. Yeah. And if we don't have that, that's the thing. You have to know what your purpose is and know that God is calling you into it.
Yeah.
And lean on that.
Exactly. And know that he's calling you to obedience in that.
Yeah.
Not to the image of success in it.
Yeah.
That's in our heads. I think that's a big thing. And that's something that we see with the apostles in the New Testament, especially with the life of Jesus, right? Is that so often they had this image of the way things were going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But their success was being obedient and sticking with it, even though things did not end up, especially with Jesus, things did not end up the way they thought they were going to end up.
Yeah.
Right. And so with that, and what's crazy about it is that they ended up better. Yeah. Right. They ended up so much better. But in the temporary sense, no one would know that. In the temporary sense, no one would think that, because all of them ended up martyred, right?
Right.
All of them ended up seeing Rome still in power. All of them ended up, some of them, you know, ended up knowing about Jerusalem being destroyed, right? It's going to be destroyed. And then so when you have all of those things and you can fix on the temporary and be like, oh, man, this was all a failure. But man, God had such a bigger plan in mind, right?
That temporary, our understanding of what long-term is.
Yeah, and our understanding of what success is.
It's not the same as God's.
Absolutely. And so what's, you started hitting on some things, and I feel like this bleeds right in to this next one. Oh, actually, it's number five that I was looking at. So
well, we'll jump ahead. Yeah, let's jump.
Are we allowed to do that?
We'll do four and six next time.
Okay, all right. So, I mean, if we're allowed to do that, we're going to jump over to five because number five talks about this targeting identity.
Yeah.
Right? And so we go from this distraction, this temporary, busying ourselves, chasing after these things that bring us some type of fulfillment, right? Yeah. Very temporary, fleeting fulfillment because we're finding our worth in these different things really that are very temporary and fleeting. And that allows our identity to be crushed. And the enemy will target our identity. And this is what it says there. He says he'll confuse people about who they are and why they are here.
Yeah.
Who they are and why they are here. And so that, again, this goes back to this idea of, hey, obedience is what the success is. Why you are here is to know, love, and serve God, right? It's that obedience factor. Why, you know, why me and you are doing the podcast.
Yeah.
It's not to blow up and get famous, right?
Yeah.
Though, go ahead and help us share. No. It's not to blow up and get famous.
Yeah.
The reason we're here is because we're doing it as an act of obedience.
Yeah. We see there's disunity.
Exactly.
And we want there to be unity.
Absolutely. And we feel on our hearts this call to speak towards it, Yeah. Right. And so that's why, I mean, you were even saying, like, you know, you feel like God's telling you to be online, right?
Yeah.
We feel like God's telling us to do these things. And so that's why we're doing it. Yeah. And in that, the doing it is the obedience, not whether or not our stuff goes viral.
Yeah. And even if it never does.
Yeah.
Because we could, this goes back to that previous point, even if it never, even if this podcast never blows up to this yeah. big thing, hopefully we accomplished some purpose
exactly.
and some people saw it and yep. some people are more unified because of it.
There we go.
That would be enough.
That's enough. There it is. And so targeting that identity and that identity, again, I mean, you talk about this unity factor, that purpose is what brings us together, right? Because mm-hmm. no matter what, where we're at on different sides of things, what angles we're coming, if we can come back to this purpose that we see in scripture, right? If we can come back to that being our purpose of knowing, loving, and serving God, fulfilling the Great Commission, right? Being yeah. part of that ministry of reconciliation.
Seeing people set free.
Right? Ooh. If we can do that, if we can say, okay, this is the purpose we share and come back to this purpose, and then we can say, look, no matter what the world will call success, our success is going to be being obedient to this. Mm-hmm. Now we can get back to a place of knowing who we are, right, and why we're here, and that is what will unite us. Who are we? We're children of God.
Yeah.
Right?
Let's stop and pause on that for just a minute, because I think this is, we're touching on something that a lot of people struggle to identify. Yeah.
Yes.
So like
absolutely.
When you say purpose, absolutely. I mean, that's a question that people have asked forever.
Yeah.
Like, what's my purpose? Why are we here?
Exactly.
And so if you don't really have that kind of figured out to mm-hmm. some degree,
yeah,
and you may not ever feel like you fully understand what your purpose mm-hmm. is. I feel like I have a pretty good grasp of it now. Mm. But I think that's the thing, is like, you're saying we need to have this purpose to go after, but most people I feel like don't.
Yeah.
Like they don't know what their purpose is.
Come on now.
So maybe they're just like, well, I'm just here to do the best I can do and maybe be as successful as I can.
Yeah.
And whether they've actually defined that out or mm-hmm. not, that is just the default.
Yeah.
And it's usually kind of me-centered.
Mm.
Right? What I'm here for is for me.
Uh-huh.
And what the Bible really contradicts that.
It does.
Like Jesus was very much like, this life is not for you.
That triangle we're talking about,
this
right?
This life is for me and as God and for the people around you. Like, those are the two greatest commandments. Like,
right?
Love your God with all your, and those are purpose commandments, really.
Yeah.
And it's loving God and loving people.
There we go.
And when we don't have that figured out, the enemy is winning in this way.
Mm.
He's using that, then that's the identity piece, right?
Yeah.
He's confusing people about who they are and why they're here. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's purpose.
There we go.
And if you don't know what your purpose is, you will be confused and you'll just be chasing after whatever feels good.
Yeah.
And likes feel good. Like winning something feels good.
Exactly.
But it is a temporary. We go back to the temporary.
There we go.
But it is temporary. It doesn't last. Nope. And then it just leaves you feeling empty. I just wanted to throw something out there. I heard a really good testimony on this, and I've heard multiple testimonies on this of people getting everything that they wanted.
Yes.
Especially like famous people.
Oh yeah.
There's two of them that I'm going to bring up. One of them I got to witness personally at an event called United Night, which is a bunch of youth groups coming.
Yeah.
And there was a guy who was really big in the skateboard industry and music industry.
There we go.
And he feels like he just got everything.
Yeah.
But of course, along with that came drugs and sex and all these things.
Yeah, yeah.
And we fleshly want those things because it makes us feel good.
Mm.
But what he found was there was still just a ginormous hole.
Mm.
And you actually hear this all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Especially people as they get older.
Yeah.
A lot of famous people have come to – or they end up committing suicide because they're
–
it seems like they just have everything.
Yeah.
And they do. They have everything materialistically
mm-hmm.
that they would possibly need, but there's still a hole.
Yeah.
It's just not enough. Mm. Or they've put all their faith into another person or into into their job or career or those kind of things. That's just
temporary
not
things. Yeah.
Temporary things. The other one that's a really good one, I don't know how many Tool fans we'll have on here.
Okay.
But the bass player for Tool, his name was Head.
Okay.
And they were this huge rock band that did crazy good and got all the same thing. Same story. Got everything they wanted. He actually wrote a book called Save Me From Myself that I read, and it was super good. He's a Jesus follower now.
Yeah.
I think he's brought most of the band to Jesus, which is amazing. But he found God in the middle of all that. And they changed they still kind of do the same style.
Uh-huh.
But they've changed. He's specifically, I know, has changed to do more Christian music in that style to reach people that are in that genre, which is awesome. But they thought they had it all. Yeah. They just thought they did, and they didn't. Mm. And there was still something missing there. And he was considering taking his life. This guy who's on top, all these other musicians are looking up to these guys and going, man, I wish I could be like them.
Yeah.
Same thing we were just talking about. I wish I could be like that person that's got it all.
Yeah.
And then they get there and they're like, I'm still missing something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Wow. Like, we're missing that purpose. And, I feel like God has revealed that to me.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes with that purpose of like, we're here to love God and love others.
Yeah.
And bring other people to him. I mean, it still is all about God really. Mm. Because that loving others is to bring them to him.
Exactly. And it's the most loving thing we can do for them.
Yeah.
Is to help them draw closer to God.
And I think, even for myself for a while, I was like, wait, what's that? What does that even mean?
Mm.
And is that really a purpose? Like how does that fit?
Yeah.
But as I've gone through my Christian walk, and I can tell you the first time I baptized someone, that's when I got it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I was like, this person who didn't know God was on whatever path they're on.
Yeah.
They've come to understand this love of God as well.
Yeah.
And it's because God let me be part of his plan that happened.
Yeah.
And it was totally out of the blue. Like, it was a kid at a youth camp that I had just started going to. It was my first camp. Didn't know anybody of the kids at this camp.
Yeah.
And for some reason, we just had some conversations, and it was just, I didn't even know that I'd had that much of an impact on him. I was just talking to him a couple times. And they did a baptism at the end of the camp, and he came up to me and he said, I want you to be the one to baptize me. And I was just like, whoa.
Yeah. Wow.
And I've never felt more fulfilled, honestly. Yeah. Than just bringing someone else to know the Lord.
Man.
And so there is purpose there.
Absolutely.
And like nothing else. Yeah. Nothing else has brought me that kind of fulfillment.
Mm-mm. And nothing can. I mean, because it's literally getting down to why you are here, why you live.
Yeah.
Like why you were created, what brought you together in the womb and brought you forward. It is this purpose, right? Of knowing, loving, and serving God.
Yeah.
Right? And
I've had good successes in other things, other parts of my life.
Yep.
Like I've been a graphic designer and done good things there that I'm proud of.
You're right.
But none of them has brought me anything like that.
Exactly. Exactly. And I hear you, man. No matter what, all the different successes or things that we can point to in life, they're always going to fall short.
They will.
Of walking in this purpose. And I think so often we get distracted by the temporary things that we could fulfill in this life. And I would even say sometimes we get very distracted by the temporary how, because how will change, right? And how is a temporary thing, depending on where you are and what you're doing and your skills, your abilities, your mindset, what season of life God has you in, right? So often when we are people searching for identity and searching for purpose, we are clothing that in how.
Yeah.
How will I, you know, what are these things that I'm going to be doing? How am I going to make a living? How am I going, like, and all these different things, right? Yeah. And so it's always the what and the how. And, you know, nod the hat to Simon, right? We need to get to the why. Like scripture has encouraged us to from the very beginning, it's the why that really matters. And what's cool about it is that God already gives us a lot of general hows,
Yeah.
In a lot of general
ways.
And
that is cool.
Right.
It is cool that it's not all the same.
Right.
For everybody.
But, and I tell people all the time. So, and you may have heard me say this. If you go back to previous episodes, you may hear me say this again. And in future episodes, you will likely hear me say it again. But I will regularly tell people God works off of street signs, not a roadmap. And the reason I say that is because God works off of something that's meant for moving vehicles, right? He expects you to be in motion. He's already given us the big points, the big game plan, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like we will often hear God for example, God tells us these things like we are to honor our fathers and mothers. We are to, you know, love him above all else and then try to love others as ourselves, right? He tells us not to lie. He tells us to do good in a lot of these different areas, right? To give to the needy, right? He tells us to love our neighbors. Like I said, so many different things. He tells us to do. He gives us direction on what not to do, right? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, right? Like all of these things can be a lifetime of pursuit within themselves, all right? So we have all these different things that God has already told us to do. He's told us to go make disciples. This is like God telling us, hey, go check your mailbox. And then so this is what we often do. We walk to our closet. We open up our closet and we look at our glorious shoe collection. And then we sit there and for minutes and for hours and days, we say, what shoes am I supposed to wear? What shoes has God destined for me? And then when we finally pick a shoe, we're like, oh, what knot am I supposed to do? And then we start researching all the different knots and we're getting into fisherman knots.
That's the distraction,
and
all right?
And we're getting distracted
so much that we don't actually do anything.
And all the while, God said, go to the mailbox and check the mail. And he's thinking, I don't care what shoes you wear.
Yeah, just put
go
some shoes
to the
on.
Mailbox and check. And so we will bypass the go to the mailbox. We'll bypass the make disciples.
Yes.
We'll bypass the love your neighbor as yourself. We'll bypass the love God, right? And and him above all else, to spend time with him, right?
Oh,
we'll bypass the prayer. We'll bypass the fasting. We'll bypass the giving to the poor. We'll bypass all these different things that he has clearly told us that we know, okay, if I do this, I am
because
doing
trying to make sure we do it
the
right.
will of God. We will bypass the pursuing unity, right? That he has clearly told us that he wants for us, right? Yeah. To live in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called, right? And to pursue unity, to earnestly desire it. He will bypass all of these things. And then we will trip out and spend days and months, and we'll spend years going back and forth on different things in our lives, like we're tripping over what shoes to wear.
Yeah.
It's not about what shoes you're wearing. It's about going to the mailbox.
Yeah.
It's about doing these things.
I got a word for this earlier this year. And I posted it actually, which is the harvest is everywhere.
But come on now.
Cause a lot of times we're like, God, where are you calling me to?
Yeah.
Do I need to go here? Do I need to go there?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's everywhere that you go.
Right.
There are people everywhere that you go that don't know him.
Look,
you don't need to go. You can be in the Bible Belt.
Right.
Which is where I'm going. I'm going to Nashville.
Come on now.
To Tennessee soon.
Come on.
And there's going to be plenty of people there.
Yep.
That don't know the Lord.
Truth.
There's people right here in Idaho.
Truth.
Don't know the Lord.
Right.
Like there's people. And sometimes we're like, oh, I got to go on this mission overseas. Or I got to go over here and I got to go over there. And it's like, sure, you can do that. And God may be calling you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But also while you're here waiting to do that.
Come on.
There's a harvest right here.
Come on now.
Always.
Always. There's always. And we were even talking about this the other day at Boise Underground. We're having disciple making cohort, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then so Boise Underground puts on great trainings for people who are desiring to be active in their faith and make disciples. And so we have this cohort going on. We're talking about how, you know, we're going all the way from a base level of, okay, I want to be serious about following this command of going and making disciples. Where does it start? What do we do? And and a lot of what we're talking about is geared towards reaching people who have never heard God, never known him, haven't been walking as a believer. But we have to always add that caveat in there as well. Look, there's going to be people that are literally maybe sitting next to you at church and they need to be discipled. Because maybe they have said, okay, I'm going to put my faith in Jesus, but no one has come alongside of them and discipled them and actually helped them to look. Jesus walked with the apostles for 3 years. Mm-hmm. 3 years he sowed into them, discipling them. And then even after that, he said, look, y'all still need help. I'm sending the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Right. and they were in there discipling and growing together. Right. Because we see that they are regularly in community and challenging one another. And so we can see, look, this is an ongoing thing. Right. We can always, no matter where you're at, you can always step into Jesus said to make disciples. I'm going to be a disciple who makes
that
disciples.
That actually is such a good point because I know my wife especially, I was, for some reason, I've had a number of great disciplers in our walk. She has struggled to find female disciplers that would take the time to disciple her.
Not too many people are intentional about it.
And so if you are an older female or male in your church and you're like, I'm not an evangelist, maybe. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be an evangelist to serve God in probably the most important way, which is deeper discipleship.
Yeah.
Because getting him into the door doesn't last unless there's discipleship.
Yeah.
It just doesn't.
No.
Because eventually the hardships will come. It's like that the seed analogy where they're dropped on the— It's dropped there and they heard it. They walked in the door, but there was no fertile ground for them to grow in. And the fertile ground is us. That's us just doing discipleship. And so if you're one of those people that's in your church, challenge, that's not really doing a lot of discipling, but you have a good faith, like seek out some younger people in your church.
Right.
And go like, and ask them. Because a lot of times people just don't want to ask or they don't even know to ask.
Yeah.
They're like, going to Sunday service is enough.
Yeah.
Or they think it's enough.
Yeah. And that means they need to be discipled out of that mindset. And it's
exactly.
Come on now.
100%. But sometimes you need to go to some of these younger adults that are in your church and be like, hey, and ask God.
Yeah.
Like, God, who do you want me to disciple in our church?
Come on now.
And then be like, hey, I feel like God might be asking me to disciple you.
Yeah.
I bet you'll get yeses.
Yeah. I'm praying for that now.
I am 100%. Mm-hmm. You will get yeses.
Yeah. Yeah.
From somebody.
I'm praying for that right now. Cause I'm endeavoring to start up a discipleship, a life coaching type of program where I'll be able to disciple, coach, and mentor other young men. And so that's something that I'm praying for right now. And that's something that if you know young men, you know young people who need discipleship, connect with their parents, connect with their youth pastors, their young adult pastors, their pastors, connect with people in your community and see if you're able to connect them with others that are a little farther along that can just share and pour into them, who are intentional and want to say, hey, I will take time to pour into these people. And that's something I'm really hoping with this. I want to put together a program. So if anyone's interested, reach out, especially if you're over here in this area, reach out. I'm looking for some young men who say, hey, I want to be serious about my faith. I want to be serious about my overall wellness. If anyone's been hanging out for a while, they know I'm always talking about that overall wellness, right? We need to take care of ourselves all around. And so if you're serious about that, we want to talk. We want to get some people who are saying, hey, let's try this out. Let's put this program together. Let's make this happen.
And I just want to add something really quick because I know people are already disqualifying themselves.
Oh, come on now.
Come on.
Come on now.
I feel like God's just telling me this. Oh, like, you got to make sure people don't disqualify themselves because you said something there that was like, that's it. A little bit ahead of them.
Come on.
You don't have to be the guru.
Yep.
You just have to be a little bit ahead of whoever you're discipling.
Exactly.
And you should be getting discipled too.
Come on now.
Right?
That's the truth.
That's the thing. That's it's the truth. We need an upline, which is the people that are discipling us. Yep. We need side to side, which is the iron sharpens iron. We talked about that. And then the down.
Yeah.
That you're looking to the next generations to bring them up.
Yeah.
And you only need to be a little bit ahead of them.
Exactly. Absolutely. Now, that's so good. I'm glad you said that because... And especially disciples should always be getting discipled.
Yeah.
And discipling others.
Yes. And it might just be the side to side.
Yeah.
As you get older, it's going to be more of a side to side than an upline. I say upline, I just mean someone that's further along than you. Because I know one of my biggest discipleship relationships was my pastor, but we were the same age.
So
it felt more like a back and forth. Yeah. And I know that I discipled him to some level.
There we go.
And he discipled me and it was great. So as long as you have some kind of iron sharpening iron,
is
the whole thing that you're getting poured into as well as pouring out to others.
Yeah, absolutely. That touches on right here. This targeting identity, the second point to that, and we're going to close with this, was this idea of the breakdown of the family structure and spiritual role models. So young people lack a moral compass. So this breakdown of spiritual role models, right?
Yeah.
And the family structure. And that's one of the reasons why, even in the midst of this, is we're talking about, look, we need to get discipled. We need to plan on discipleship, be intentional about it.
Yeah.
We need to make sure we're connecting younger believers with more seasoned believers.
Yeah.
And we need to set these different things and make a priority of it. One of the reasons why I even brought up connect them with their parents, right? Like let's talk, is because that should be the first line of discipleship. Yeah.
Let me add something to that. Your youth pastor is not the main disciple of your kids.
Come on now, talk to him.
It is not. I was a youth pastor for 4 years. I cannot effectively disciple 40 kids.
No.
There's just no way.
No.
And even with my leaders, I mean, we're all working at it, but you as a parent, if you're a parent watching this, are way more capable and able to disciple your kids than other people are. Now, it takes a village, which is why youth groups are great, and send your kids to youth groups. It's a great way for them to connect and get those sidelines with their other kids their age and all that kind of stuff. There's so many benefits to it, but they are not your main, the main disciples of
your
kids.
Absolutely. And believe it or not, you have a greater influence than you may think.
Yes.
You have a greater influence than you may think, and not just by your words, but by your actions, your actions and your words lining up and helping to move them along. And one of these great things is that if you're intentional, I think I've shared this once before. Do you know how many adult role models every teenager should have in their life?
Oh, like there's a statistic around it?
Yeah. Like there's a.
I don't know, but I would assume at least two.
Seven.
Yeah.
Seven. For every young adult, you should have seven adults who can speak positively into their life.
Which means that as an adult, it'd be great if you could have more than one youth that you're pouring into.
Right. And so look, in an ideal world, right? This means you have mom, dad, and you have both sets of grandparents.
Right. Yeah.
And then you add another. This is an ideal world.
That's actually interesting that works that way.
Right.
Right? Because
ideal
the family
world.
Thing is very important.
Come on now.
Like grandma, I've there's so many kids that I've heard, well, my grandma or my grandpa was such a believer.
There we go.
And I've leaned a lot on their faith. And
there we go.
So grandmas and grandpas, you guys are important.
Come on.
That's where the wisdom comes down from the generations.
Right.
And as you get older, like don't feel, there's a guy, I'm going to repeat this because it just came up to me recently. There's a guy in our church. He's in his 70s. He was kind of ready to give up on ministry, and he told me this. Mm. And he heard this quote, and I think it's a Clint Eastwood quote or something.
There we go.
But it was, don't let the old man in.
Mm.
And how many times, and I've done this myself, and I'm not even that old, how many times do we disqualify ourselves again with, I'm too old to make a difference? And and that's just not true.
Yeah.
Those voices are powerful to the to the younger generation.
Absolutely.
Whether or not you feel like they're listening to you or not.
Yeah.
It's getting in there, I think.
Yeah.
If you're not saying it, there's definitely not.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I want to put this out there, especially for our students, because there is a great weight to peer influence as well.
Mm-hmm.
And peer relationship. Don't think you're too young to make a difference.
Oh, yes.
Right? Don't think you're too young.
Yeah.
Because maybe one of your friends, they come from a jacked up family and they have, you know, one parent who's barely there. But maybe you could be a positive influence and you could connect them with some of your adult positive influences as well.
Yeah. And I always like to say the disciples were all teenagers.
Come on now.
For the most, not all, absolutely, but most of them are teenagers.
Yeah.
So and they changed the world.
They changed the world. Absolutely.
So you're not too young.
Right. So that family structure, big. Yeah. Family structure is big. That's where discipleship needs to start.
Yep.
Right. And we need a disciple, be intentional about it there. And then we also need to, as parents, we need to make sure we're connecting our kids with other positive male role models. Invite them to speak into your kids' lives. Right. And what's cool about that is that sometimes there's things your kids won't want to listen to you on, but maybe they have a coach, right? Maybe they have an uncle or an aunt that they just think the world of. And if you guys are lining up, if you guys are on a team, right? And they encourage and confirm some of the things you're saying.
Yeah.
What matters is that it's heard, right?
Yeah.
Not who exactly they got it from, but that it's heard and they're moving in the right direction.
Yeah. And young people, to on the flip side of what I said earlier, don't be afraid to ask someone to disciple you.
Yes.
Now, with time constraints, people's business, all that kind of stuff, you might get a no. Ask more than one person, but also go back to what I said before.
Yeah.
Pray before you ask, because hopefully God will lead you.
Yeah.
I believe God will lead you to the right person if you're praying about it. And don't be afraid to do that. Ask, because I would assure you there are older people in your church that didn't see my first part of this podcast that aren't going to ask. And so you can go to them and they will be honored.
Yeah.
Especially the older generation that's retired already. They would be honored to be asked.
Absolutely.
For them to disciple you.
Yeah.
And you could gain some serious wisdom.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That would be an honor, definitely. And prioritize that. Adults, if somebody asks you, to mentor them, to disciple
make
them.
Make the time.
Prioritize
that. You want that purpose?
That.
You want your life to
come on.
Your job is not going to give you as much purpose as that is.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely. Yeah. That's again one of the reasons why even getting that young adult life coaching going, I'm like, no, we're going to get a good amount of time together. We're going to make this something to where you've heard me say, I've always wanted us, I feel like in Western society, if we can move back more to the rabbinic method of discipleship, where get the dust of your rabbi on you, like how literally, I mean,
dust.
this is why the disciples literally followed Jesus around for 3 years.
Yeah. They were right
and
there
living with
him.
Mm-hmm. Like that was the form of discipleship back then.
Yeah.
That was seminary back then, was you
just daily life together,
together where your rabbi went, you went, right?
Yeah.
What your rabbi was reading, you're reading. And you're there together. What your rabbi was eating, that's what you're eating. And so one of the things I'm hoping is that, okay, we need to get closer and closer to that. And now that's not in Western society, that doesn't seem as practical, right?
Yeah.
But how much can we emphasize? Let's get time together. Let's be intentional. Hey, I'm working on my yard. Come work on my yard with me. Cause we can have conversation while we're working on the yard, right? I'm going to do this. You are free to come. You're always welcome to join me while me and Brandon are talking on the podcast. Come sit with us.
Yeah. You might be surprised at what kids are willing to do too.
Exactly.
I had a group of kids that were meeting me at 6:30 in the morning for coffee.
Come on now.
School.
Come on.
And I was like, okay, they're hungry for something.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because kids don't like getting up early.
Oh, no. Right?
Especially if you buy them coffee.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
But I wasn't. I wasn't even buying it for them. And they were still showing up. It was
now.
A great time.
That is awesome. That is so good. Okay. So couple quick takeaways from this. We were talking about these two different things, and I'll recap with all four that we've covered so far. If you're curious about the ones we covered in the last couple episodes, it was corrupting the truth and divide and isolate. These are the enemy's tactics for this generation. All right. Today, we talked about distract with the temporary, fill minds with endless entertainment, consumerism, busyness, so that there is no time for God. And then encourage chasing likes, money, and status, all the temporary things instead of purpose. And then from there, we have to jump down to that targeting identity, which is to confuse people about who they are and why they are here, and then break down the family structure and spiritual role models. And so those are things that we covered today. You want to close us? Any final thoughts?
Well, just that breakdown, because that actually we weren't tying it exactly to that, but when mm-hmm. you're talking about that seven disciples.
Oh, yeah.
You see that breakdown and how that's destroying our country.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of fatherlessness. There's just families that aren't pouring down into their next generation. And anything we can do to fight that and bring those families back together is what we should be doing.
Absolutely. And I think we mentioned that a little bit when talking with it was Safe Families and I think or Impact Hope, one of the two great organizations that work with children and helping to fight against like kids becoming orphans and that type mm-hmm. of thing, and that there should not be an orphan in the church, because even if a child does not have their parents, mm-hmm. there should be spiritual extended family within the church who are saying, no, I'm going to take care of you like you're my own. And so
it takes time, takes effort.
Absolutely. Yeah. So let's do it though. We need to take care of each other. We need to make sure our young are being raised up in a way that they are being discipled, they're being mentored, and they're being guided. So, cool. All right. You want to close us in prayer?
Yeah, of course. Lord, I thank you for this revelation of just the enemy's plan. It's never really changed, so I'm not surprised that ChatGPT was able to come up with this. But Lord, I pray that you help us to fight against the tactics of the enemy, to divide, to isolate, to chase after temporary things. I just pray that we find purpose in your will. And as we come to you, Lord, I pray for people to come and talk to you about it and talk to other believers about it and get and find, just help them find their purpose. Anybody who's listening to this day, God, I pray purpose over them, that they know that they have a part in your plan. You are mindful of every single person and you do have things for us to do. And, but how we do them, is less of a worry, God, and I pray that we let the hows go and just live in obedience, God, because I know that there's great purpose there. And I pray for all the walks of the different people listening right now, God, that you just bring them through into those purposes, help them to see the things that you see, both in themselves and in him and in you as the God that's trying to lead them. And help us to be good stewards of our time here on earth. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Once again, please like, share, subscribe. And we really mean it. Let us know. Be part of the conversation. Give us some comments. Let us know if there's anything that we touched on today that you would like more information about, that you would like to talk more about. And do us a big favor. We've never asked for this before, and it's kind of scary.
Okay.
But give us some reviews, guys. Help us out. You know what's funny? I was looking the other day. So I listen a lot of times on Amazon. They have a little podcast deal. Yeah. I cannot figure out how to do a review on there at all. So I'll have to look it up. Some of y'all already know. You might have to look into it a little bit. But see if you can give us a review. Give us some reviews, guys. YouTube's the easiest because of likes and comments and that type of stuff. But if you have a podcast app and you're listening to us, please give us a review. That really helps with just spreading the word and inviting more people into the conversation. All right. Thank you for joining us for the In Hope podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Remember, we want you to be part of the conversation. So comment, like, share, and follow. Also, we want you to consider being a ministry partner with us. For as little as $2 a month, you can help continue this podcast and other ministries that teach about unity and invest in collaborative efforts. Connect with us via social media throughout the week, and we look forward to seeing you next week on Monday on the In Hope podcast.